Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560, and we'd love to have you join us there when you can. If this is your first time to join us, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there, podcasts, so you can go there and listen to any show you want. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, I will certainly welcome your emails. Just shoot me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. With our show, and really behind our show title, Hunting the Way, it's really just kind of the intention of this is just hunting your way through life, and different subjects that we try to get through on the show are just things that we're all facing in our lives today. And one that I thought would be a really good one for us to hit today is this matter of forgiveness, bitterness. It seems to be quite rampant, and just to be honest, and even in our Christian circles and church circles. And it's something that can just really, really, truly eat you up. D.L. Moody has a quote, and he said, "I'm convinced that many of our prayers go unanswered because we're simply unwilling to forgive someone." And so what you have to understand with this matter is, boy, you're the one that is really, really suffering with this. And how is it affecting the other person? I don't know. But with that, I'd like to welcome our guest today, returning guest, great friend, Pastor Ron Jones at El Dorado, Kansas, in the Wichita, Kansas area. Again, if you're in that area looking for a good church, I highly, highly recommend Temple Baptist Church and Pastor Jones. So, Brother Ron, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, Scott.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us again on Hunting the Way. You've been in this ministry a long time. Let's just talk about, if I just say to you the words, you know, forgiveness, bitterness, what are some of the thoughts that come to mind? Then we'll try to get on a couple of topics here.
Well, I think there is a problem today, and I think it's been brought about by the way society responds to bad things that have happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty evident when you talk to people who are Christians or would call themselves Christians that they deal with a lot of problems connected with bitterness. And bitterness certainly affects your life in so many different ways. Personally, the Bible says in Hebrews that it's a root that springs up in you and gives you trouble, causes you trouble. And I think that bitterness is something that people, they just don't want to let go of. For what reason, I don't know. I know that for many years prior to turning my life to Christ fully, I would get angry about the dumbest things, and it could make me so bitter. Mm-hmm. Where I just would take it out on anyone, especially those who were closest to me. So I think bitterness is something that, well, certainly the Bible talks about it, and in the early church was evidently a problem, and still is today. I think it is today still.
We can approach this in several different ways, but let's start this way, and we'll just take it where the conversation takes us. But let's talk about our response, because a lot of times that is the key of how we respond to things. And let's say someone comes up to you and apologizes to you for something that they've done. And, you know, sometimes we may not even know that they did anything, but they feel like they did. But a lot of times we will know. But they really come up to you and it appears to be genuine, and they ask you to forgive them. But you know, it was a serious offense, and that could be a lot of different things, and don't have to go there, but it could be a real serious offense. So let's talk about our response and what is really, you know, dealing with that, and then truly forgiveness, and what all does that include?
Well, again, the Bible is, you know, people look at the Bible sometimes and they go, it's so harsh, but this is such a good mental health necessity, I would say, for a Christian's mental health, or any person could gain by it. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible tells the Christian to put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then it says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Mm-hmm. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. So, as a Christian, I have a responsibility to respond to people or to situations in the manner that God would respond, by putting on true holiness. So I'm supposed to, in those next verses, it says, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So those things tell me that if I am angry and I'm in sin in that anger, like the sin that I want to get back at the person, I'll show them. Or if I'm lying about something. And it's funny, when you talk about bitterness, how people make the problem sometimes much, much bigger than it was.
Right.
Even if it was really big, they make it bigger. And that's lying. I mean, you're lying to yourself, in essence. But you've probably heard this statement, well, you don't know what they did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't. But I do know, biblically, my responsibility is in verse 27 of chapter 4 is neither give place to the devil. So in all of this situation, I'm supposed to keep a Christ-like attitude in my heart and life. So this person's coming up to me. This has been an egregious thing that they've done against me. And so what happens when they come and ask forgiveness? What's my responsibility? Well, the Bible says, so let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now check this out. And be ye kind one to another,
right,
tenderhearted, mm-hmm, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the Bible tells me that I have to forgive like God has forgiven me for Christ's sake. So I there's not discussion on what they did.
Sure.
What did we do to God? Well, we sinned. So much to so that Isaiah tells us that it pleased him to put his son to death to bear our iniquities in his body on the tree, according to 1 Peter chapter number 2. And God forgave us. Why? For Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he told them, you know, when he was teaching them to pray, you know, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And I always like to ask this question to a person who's bitter. If God forgives you like you have forgiven others, how does that look? Are you going to be okay when you stand before God? We have a responsibility to let the bitterness go. The anger, we have a responsibility. I'm telling you, there'd be no road rage. If
no,
people
you're
would
right.
just go, hey, you know, it happened. And I'm not talking about drunk drivers and all that. I mean, but still, there's got to be a matter of forgiveness. There is a story, and I wish I could remember the basketball player's name, but he was a good basketball player on the basketball court. In his younger life, was punched in the face in such a way on the court that he couldn't play basketball anymore. And when he was asked if he was angry at that person and if he would like to get back at him, the player responded in this way. You know, being bitter against him would be like me drinking poison and hoping that he died. And that's
wow.
exactly what bitterness is. And when we don't forgive, the person's going to hurt is us.
Sure.
Plain and simple.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, Pastor Ron Jones from El Dorado, Kansas, touching on a subject today that affects really all of us in our lives. If it's not happening in your life, and we pray that it's not, you know, probably is with some family members or church friends. And just wanted to get Brother Jones to talk about this with us a little bit today. Again, you can visit our website, huntingtheway.com, to get a copy of any show. Our podcasts are all there. And, you know, when you talk about when you forgive someone, you know, it doesn't change the past, but when you think about it, it sure changes the future.
Exactly. That's exactly right, because you move on.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a horrible world. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, there are terrible things. You and I both have a friend who recently, not because of anybody's fault, but I mean, his grandchild, he has two grandchildren now that have passed away.
Right.
And boy, you want to talk about a man who I think is probably the least bitter person I've ever met. He's so kind.
Mm-hmm.
He's so thankful that God has done and is doing in his life what he's doing. And what's amazing to me when I talk to him or when I hear from him, there's always this attitude of thanksgiving that's mixed into his mourning. I mean, he should be mourning. That family is mourning.
Sure.
Yet he's making a choice. Why? Because he does have to. He has to live. He has to move on. And don't you agree? And I think most of the listeners would agree that there's a lot of people that are just stuck in what happened, whatever, how many ever years ago.
Oh no! And I mean, yeah, I mean, we could probably both tell stories about that. And it, I mean, and I'm talking 20, 30, 40 years ago, something happened, and
right.
neither
I
one
mean,
of them were, you know, I'll just say Christian enough and man enough, woman enough, whatever, just to go to that person and, you know, apologize.
Right. And then when they did apologize, it was like, it's always like, well, what took you so long? Or,
right.
you know, why? And, you know, the Bible does not tell us to forgive if the person asks forgiveness. The Bible tells us to forgive. The Bible tells us to forbear one another, because we're Christians. We are to be Christ-like, yet we are wicked sinners, and we're going to do things it's going to hurt other people. James says, you know, that the tongue, a man who can control his tongue can control his whole body. So we're going to say and do things that we're going to regret. And sometimes you started off with the person may not even know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I may not even know someone has done something. Or if I do recognize that they've done something, my response can be, you know what, I'm going to just let this go. Why? It's not going to help me to keep it. And so that forgiveness is so important, whether someone asks you or not, for your right, for a future life that you are definitely going to live, you know, as long as God gives it to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, in our churches, and we take churches, families, a lot of times we worry about, we're so concerned about all these different outside things, you know, that are going to be affecting our churches. And one thing, and I know, you know, you've probably seen it in churches that you visit, that you pastor in, where it can really be within a church where this is a problem. And, I mean, it can destroy a church. Two couples not being able to get this taken care of. It can really, really be a problem.
Well, you know, I've worked with young people for many, many years, and one of the things that I used to dread is whenever a young man and a young woman in the youth group would start, quote-unquote, dating, knowing that, you know, it can end several different ways. But the reason I dreaded it was because typically in the typical youth, the young mind, one of the two, and usually it was the guy, because we all know that guys aren't the smartest people in the world. But usually the young man would do something that would offend her, and then boy, it was on every So people start choosing sides, and then there's this bitterness. And I was in a church where I saw a family feud that had started over the boy and the girl in the youth department dating or whatever, and it ended bad. And I mean, there were people on all sides of it, and oh my word, and all it did was hurt the people that were involved that wouldn't just say, you know what, that was when we were teenagers, and we've got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
We got to move on. I mean, they carried it into their adult lives and their adult families. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Right.
Destruction everywhere. I'm telling you. And that's why the Bible likens it to Esau, that bitterness. When he sold his birthright, he did it because he thought he was going to die. Well, he didn't die. So then he was in such bitterness. The Bible says he sought repentance with tears, but there was no repentance to be given because he had done what he had done. And so his life was very bitter. He became a profane person, the Bible says. So you got to let things go. You got to, and not in the frozen type sense.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it's easy. We're all human. It's easy for us to hold a grudge, but you know, when you think about what Brother Ron said earlier about, you know, what Christ has done for you and forgiven you, man, it is hard for me to think of anything anyone could do to me that I wouldn't be able to forgive them for what, like you said, what the Lord's forgiven us. Because, you know, when you forgive, just like you said earlier, you know, you release yourself really from that painful burden. And forgiveness doesn't mean what happened was okay. Doesn't mean that person maybe, you know, maybe you're not going to be the best of friends, but it can mean that you can have a peace about it and let it go, like you said. And it's pretty hard. You know what? I found this too. It's pretty hard to be bitter with someone if you're praying for that person.
Exactly.
You know
the Bible talks about it in Colossians chapter number 3. This is, you know, I was turning to this verse as you were talking about this because I kind of was following your line of thinking there. But the Bible says in verse number 19, husbands, love your wives. Okay, then there's a comment. It says, be not bitter against them. Here's the bottom line. If you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, then you're the next natural thing, which you would not be bitter against them. And I think that that is absolutely the truth when it comes to dealing with people, especially in your circle, the church, your family. You know, you say you love them and you hold bitterness. Well, you can't love them truly and love them with the love of Christ and be bitter against them.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's so interesting to me is people that are bitter recognize the bitterness in others and they judge that bitterness harshly, yet they never pay any attention to their own problem with bitterness. And like we've already said, you can ruin an entire wonderful life by being bitter against just one person.
Sure.
And it isn't a matter of trust. It's a matter of just saying, I forgive and I'm going to let this go. Trust is earned. Forgiveness is offered.
Right. And then it's really up to that person of how they respond to it. Once you, let's reverse it now, where you're going to someone and apologizing for them. You know, if they choose not to forgive you, then that's on them.
Exactly. Because, again, it's doing right. The Bible tells us we know a brother has aught against us to go to that brother. Well, the reason is so that you and I can move past the wrong that we've done, or what may even just be a perceived wrong. It's interesting that how I think we talked about this before, you know, just in talking about broaching the subject, that it's so hard for us to walk up and say, man, I'm not sure how I've offended you, but I do want to ask forgiveness because I don't want this to be something between us that can't be reconciled. And
right.
So I'm asking your forgiveness. Well, the only reason you would not do that is if you were so full of pride. And I know, because, hey, I've been here.
Sure.
I am not going to ask forgiveness because I didn't do anything. Okay.
Right.
Maybe you did. You just don't remember. It's better, you know, a soft answer turneth away wrath. So it's better for me to get right with my friend, get right with my brother or sister, rather than continually say, well, I'm right, and they need to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I've seen a lot of that, especially
sure.
recently. It's just a bummer.
And, you know, I read this this morning as I was thinking about the show, and just a typical little slogan, I guess we can call it, but it said this. It said, the first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest.
Yeah. And that's absolutely the truth.
And it is.
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
Because as we talked about, you that person, if it's really bugging you, it's probably bugging you for a reason. So to be able to go to that person and sit down with them and get that right, again, it's not up to you, their response to that, but it's up to you, your response and going, I mean, the way that you handle it and going in the right spirit. And truly, you know, being sorrow. And this is something, too, I read the other day, and it said, sometimes saying I'm sorry isn't enough. Sometimes you actually have to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so if you've done this five or six times to the same person on the same deal, maybe that's why it's not getting anywhere, because nothing's really changed in your life.
Right.
Just a thought.
And, you know, that's a very common problem. Like a person will say, you know, I'm asking you to forgive me for this, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, two days later, maybe even 2 hours later, the person's still struggling with it. You know, like they say, well, I can't trust you. Well, you're not forgiving. Well, can you give me longer than 2 hours to trust you? That
right.
would be nice.
Right.
And that's always so funny to hear that interaction between people when somebody says, well, I asked forgiveness, and, you know, okay, well, the forgiveness has been given, I think. It is a little harder to move past what you did, especially when it's something really horrible. You know, don't be the person who says, well, I don't think you're right. You're not. Well, if you did the wrong, don't expect the person just to, you know, and blow right past it, especially something that was egregious, because I think that expectation also involves a lot of pride.
Sure.
Like, I did what I'm supposed to do. Why aren't you?
Now, let's take it. Maybe we've got two families, and the men have gotten together, but you know it's affected the wives' relationship. It's affected the kids, the teenagers, let's just go say in the church, whatever. What is your suggestion on how to heal all of that? Is it meeting family with family? Is it both families meeting with, you know, the pastor? I mean, what's the best way to really get it? Because if the two guys get it right, and I'm just using the two husbands, but if they get it right, but then the rest of the family is still thinking things and not forgiving, then, you know, it hadn't really achieved the purpose there. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think each situation is unique. I don't think there's any real standard answer to that. And I think this is where the local pastor really comes into play. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we go to church. One of the reasons is so that we can have a unity of spirit and mind concerning things going on. And as a pastor, I can tell you what I would do and what I have done is when I've recognized that situation where a family's come to me and said, okay, you know, this part of it's reconciled, then I say, okay, now here's what we need to do. We need to progress through the family until we've hit everybody that this has affected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do that in my personal life as well. I did it with my children as they were growing up to let them know that things are better. It's okay to not only just have fellowship with these people, but we've moved past it, we're okay. Because I never wanted them thinking that that was being held over their head. Of course, I probably spent more of my time keeping my children out of the problem,
right,
bringing it in. And unfortunately, that's not the case these days. The parents go home and they don't think their kids have ears, and so they say everything. It may even be against the pastor, and before you know it, the kids are saying things against the pastor, and then let's say that it's all done. It's all forgiven, and everything's moving on. Well, those kids can't move on like that. So they're going to have to be taught. That's what the Bible tells us. They're going to have to be taught to do that. So in the case you're saying, I think that the best thing to do is, once the guys have gotten together and they've got it resolved, and I think the guys need to get their wives together and get it resolved, and then each family needs to resolve it in their family, and then they need to renew the fellowship or whatever the relationship was. If it's a situation that caused a great distrust, then that trust is going to have to be renewed by being earned again. And again, the only person we're supposed to trust in is the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so ultimately, when we trust in the Lord, we can say, you know what, I'm turning this over into His hands, and I believe that He can handle this and that He will handle it. So I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to let Him dole out whatever needs to be done here, whether it's a direction toward repentance or whatever. I'm not going to worry about correcting that person. I'm going to do my part and forgive. And so I'm going to teach my family in this situation that that's how we're going to deal with it, that we're going to trust the Lord and let Him deal with it.
Absolutely. Well, Brother Ron, we're out of time today, but thank you so much for joining us on Hunting the Way, and we will look forward to our next visit.
Great. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Have a blessed day.
All right. You as well. That's Pastor Ron Jones, El Dorado, Kansas, Temple Baptist Church. Again, if you're ever traveling through that area near the Wichita, Kansas area, I highly recommend his church. Stop by and see him. And thank you for joining us today on Hunting the Way. And be sure and check out our website, huntingtheway.com. If you have any questions or comments, shoot me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Remember, the first to apologize is the bravest, the first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. Thanks for joining us, and remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great day.